The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, SmackDown Review.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestling to the Max WWE SmackDown Live review for June 6th, 2017. And I am your host, Sean Garman, here with me, Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo!
So this was we're still building to Money in the Bank here. Of course, next week will be the Go Home show where they'll really have to pack a punch. This kind of felt like sometimes you get when you have that in-between show, not the after show, but the show before. We got to, like, kick it in the gear, get people to pay attention, even though most of the time, Money in the Bank, you don't really have to. And maybe that's another thing. They feel like they don't really have to sell you too much, because now you got two Money in the Banks. I know. What did you think of the show overall, I guess?
You know, it was sort of there, right? I mean, there are parts of the show I actually really enjoyed, maybe more than some people did. And there are pieces of certain angles that I think I enjoyed a lot more than other people did. But, I mean, it kind of leaves you feeling ho-hum at the end. Like, well, this was just SmackDown.
That's yeah. Cool. Exactly. And it's disappointing because there's some matches on here that, you know, if maybe you're watching it for the first time in a while, there's definitely some confrontations between two people that you're like, oh, come on, I was expecting wonderful stuff, and instead you kind of get that feeling that Paul just talked about, just there with the whole thing. But we might go ahead and go through this. So they start the show with Shane McMahon talking about the Money in the Bank along with all of the participants, and he shows the Money in the Bank briefcase for the women, which is white with the Money in the Bank logo there. It's a little smaller than the other one, so I guess using the whole, well, you know, the women don't need to be lifting that much weight because you got to pull it down from the thing. Whatever their reason is, it is smaller there. So basically he runs down what happens. James Ellsworth talks about mansplaining, which basically he just mansplains himself while trying to get Carmella to get going. Everybody basically talks about how they're going to win. And then Naomi comes out that, you know, she could be in the Money in the Bank match. And that would be an interesting, you know, turn of events if they had the champion be in there one year just to be like, oh, well, now I get to defend my champion. You know, kind of like how, you know, New Japan does with the tournaments where the champion's in there. If the champion wins and technically he doesn't have a contender, well, you know, maybe they might think of that one year, just have the champion be in there so that she can defend her. Not have it be for the championship, but so that you can defend so that you don't have a challenger. But I guess, again, that would defeat the purpose of the Money in the Bank. But it wouldn't be bad to do one year, I guess.
What I think that's an interesting idea. It's a little harder in Money in the Bank. Like, if King of the Ring was still around, definitely, right? Because that has prestige before it was ever meant to be for a title match and all this other stuff that dates back to the mid-80s. And, yeah, Money in the Bank is a fresher concept, and it's supposed to be something that gets you a title match anytime you want. And I think if it was just a title match at a specific date, then maybe the champion being in would be more, make more sense. But with it being sort of that any time motif thing that they like so much, I don't know if a champion being in there would really work out all that well. But it'd be interesting for sure. I've seen a lot of interesting theories that we'll talk about once we get through the rest of the segment.
Yeah, I think you're probably right in that it doesn't work in that same vein, and also it's different than just being in one match, like, why kill yourself to be in a ladder match when you can just wait and see who comes out of it? But then you don't have to deal with, on the other end, is it worth it? So you don't have to deal with the possibility of, oh crap, somebody can come at any moment and take my title when I least expect it. So pros and cons there, I guess. But in the end, you know, Money in the Bank is what it is. And we thought we had all the challengers. But lo and behold, right before, you know, we think we're done with this segment, Lana finally makes her debut on SmackDown with her new music. She still has the Russian accent. I thought maybe they might kill that or something, since people that watch Total Divas can see her not talk in the accent. But they decide they let her keep it here, even though I guess whenever it is that Russo comes back, Lana may not hang around with him. She comes in and says that she wants to be in the Money in the Bank as well. The crowd sure is happy to see Lana there. They chant for Lana, and they chant for Lana quite a bit in this segment, making all the women laughing at her kind of ironic, because they care more about her being there than the rest of the other women that are there. And, you know, Shane basically tells Lana, well, hey, you got to earn this title shot. You can't just come in here and ask for one. And she gets mad and leaves. And the crowd tells her, hey, basically, don't leave. We want to see you. But this wouldn't be the last time we see her, as you would probably expect. Since they have this six-person tag match that was apparently made before this this main event, this segment here. This match was just kind of, it was a good match. I think, you know, each woman got their a little bit of time here and there. Lana shows up to distract Naomi, and then Tamina hits Superkick and gets the win. So even though this ends up turning into a Lana and Naomi championship feud, because Naomi goes later and asks for Shane for the match. Does that mean that Tamina gets a title shot at some point? Because she did pin the champion here.
All things being equal, and the way SmackDown sort of pays attention to stuff like this, I would say it's very likely. But I don't know. You know, let's kind of go back and forth a little bit here. There are a lot of pieces in these little bits of segments that I really like. For example, the opening, I think Becky was great. And Charlotte, on the other hand, was sort of just back to yelling everything. Mm-hmm. And that's what sort of turned it all back into a big giant mess before Becky settles it back down. I really liked the Lana debut personally. I thought it was a nice little wrench in the plans. I kind of wish they adapted a little bit to the reaction, but they didn't. They stuck to script. And sort of laughed her off a little bit when clearly the crowd is excited about something for her. And
right, they should be more shocked that she's getting that reaction.
Yes, absolutely. And to me, it's shocking that they're doing the title match instead of throwing Lana into Money in the Bank, because at least from a backstage perspective, putting Lana inside Money in the Bank allows you to easily hide her flaws. And I understand maybe you don't want to risk an injury so close to her debuting, but you can hide her flaw. She doesn't have to be in it that much, and then she can sort of just come in and swoop in and get the win if you want to go that way. So that's a little surprising to me. It'll be interesting to see what she does with Naomi in that title match. The six-woman match I thought was good. I think everybody gets in their hits, and everybody kind of looks strong, with Tamina probably looking the best, not only because of the pinfall, but she kind of got to run shop for a little bit too. And, you know, I've seen a lot of talk online about people thinking that maybe Naomi and Lana go on before the women's Money in the Bank match, and you have Lana sort of upset Naomi somehow, and then Naomi sort of interjects herself into the Money in the Bank match, and they go forward that way, which would be interesting nonetheless, and would keep the six-person motif. But I think people are maybe forgetting that WWE likes to book in Money in the Bank with one at the start and one at the finish.
I mean, you're right about that. They could do that. I mean, there's nothing that's... And we've seen SmackDown do more with women than Raw does. In fact, you know, the Raw women's division has been just sorely lacking at times. It feels like they take steps backwards instead of forwards.
Right.
And, you know, they could definitely do this plan of having perhaps the men go first. And then... Because you have this thing with the women, if they want to go that route, Lana gets the win, and Naomi does interject. So we've seen this happen before, where the previous champion does lose, and they let him be in the Money in the Bank, or, you know, I would have guessed that Naomi would just go plead a deal to Shane, like, hey, I just lost, but I want to do my rematch in the Money in the Bank, or something like that, and he just kind of lets her do it. I mean, I think, you know, what I would say is that even though Money in the Bank does hide Lana's flaws, Lana has been training a lot in NXT. You know, I know she's also been practicing her cross, you know, her dancing, and that's part of also doing that is getting the gimmick down that she wants to do. But she surprised us a little bit in that, you know, multiple person match at a WrestleMania. I feel like maybe they want to show that she's learned a little bit and that she can go. She's not Eve Marie. Because right now, if you leave it as is, she is Eve Marie, but she gets the opposite reaction. So, you know, we'll see. I think, obviously, there could be some devious things going on here. You know, they could make... maybe Lana makes a deal with somebody that if they... help her win, she gives him a title shot or something, very much like, you know, Alexa did on Raw. I'd hate to see them reuse that storyline twice, but it's something they could do. Multiple things could happen here. So this is sort of now interesting that they put Lana in here because they could go various ways.
It's a very strong point, and just a quick look here. I mean, they've had Lana doing wrestling more often in NXT since December, and very much more recently. So, you know, she looks athletic in the ring. I think that's a benefit. Obviously, I'm sure the dancing stuff's going to play a lot into this and everything. And, you know, I'm just... For somebody who hasn't been around the business all that long and everything like that, like, I don't wager this is going to be anything that you can sort of rely upon. So I'd look for a lot of smoke and mirrors, and maybe this is what they do with Rusev, where they have him tag along with Lana for a while until they figure out what they want to do with him.
Maybe that would be an interesting take, is just Rusev comes out with Lana to... That's his official debut on SmackDown instead of him having his own... segment, but hey, you know, SmackDown's already set the precedent with Jinder Mahal here that anything can happen. So don't put it past them that you have another champion that maybe isn't like a ring veteran, but the crowd reaction might turn them to do that. They've got some time to think about it. If you know, Lana now starts showing up at these house shows and she gets big reactions, and then, you know, next week on SmackDown, it might make them think about it, you know? It would be nice to see them do something the crowd likes for once. I don't know how they will feel when she wins the title or not, but it's an interesting road to go down.
I absolutely agree with that, in that the fun part about giving the belt to Jinder is just, it really does create that feel of anything can happen on SmackDown. We've probably talked about that a little bit, but going that way with the women too would be very interesting. And Lana is somebody who, you know, the people have cared about in the past on many different occasions, whether it's her running around when being the mouthpiece for Rusev. They were into her face turn for a brief little bit before they kind of flushed that down the toilet. And, you know, ever since then, it's been sort of peaks and valleys with her. And I mean, maybe they're just chanting because she's super pretty, or maybe they're chanting because they actually do want to see her. But I think either way, it's an interesting path to think about and maybe take a couple steps down and see what's behind that curtain.
Yeah, it's interesting that WWE tried so hard to get mad at them because you know, they announced their marriage on Twitter or whatever, and then, like, you know, everybody knows her and Rusev are married or whatever. That apparently does not change people liking her one way or the other. So,
right.
You know, so it shows you that sometimes we got to just not be crazy about the whole, oh, got to make it look like, you know, that the New Japan thing where they tried to make it where Okada couldn't be in a relationship for a while because they had to make it look like he wasn't with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they did it with the women of Fortune. I think Naomi's gone on record saying that even though she was engaged to Mr. Uso for a while, she couldn't go out there with the ring when she was a Funkadactyl because she had to make it look like she was available, you know, or whatever.
Right.
It's I always think that's so silly. Like, we know there are characters on TV. No need to totally go that route, especially when you got Total Divas breaking down that fourth wall all the time.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, speaking of Mr. Gender, he finds out through a just finding out through a promo that Shane McMahon has with Mojo Rawley backstage that he has an opponent for this show. Mojo clearly points out that, hey, I've been a ghost on this show. I haven't been doing much, man. And I won that Battle Royal, and I did beat Jinder Mahal. Maybe if you can show that you can beat him again, you can go into the Money in the Bank. Although, I don't know why he didn't just get a title match to CV Gender twice. But, hey, he wants to be in the Money in the Bank, so I like the idea of, hey, let's beat Gender now that he's a champion and see that you deserve it, I guess.
Absolutely. This is one of the parts I really like this show, too, is that it was... This was all very logical. Mojo makes makes a point very well. Shane sort of accepts that when he turned that into a match with Gender. Even though I sort of cringe at the thought a little bit, it's hard to say that, you know, maybe they shouldn't try to pursue something with Mojo. The crowd, I mean, when he comes out for the match, is clearly very into him. And that might just be on him because he's such an energetic character.
Yeah, I agree. It wasn't like super, super hyped crowd for him, but it was still a pretty good reaction. I think the important part here is on the other side of the coin is Gender,
mm-hmm.
Finally getting those USA chants, which means that this character is working. I think, or at least that's what Vince wants you to. That's what Vince wants you to do, right? Is to, he's the evil foreigner, chant USA so that you let him know that we don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fine. That's good. I want positive things for, because, you know, for, like, as much as there's going to be people ragging on Gender and his, you know, his body and all that stuff, like, you don't want to see stuff just absolutely crash and burn, because it's not good for anybody, and it's not good, if this succeeds, it shows Vince and everybody else that, hey, maybe you can take a bigger chance on people that aren't the guys that you're already hyping in your mind, or that you have big plans for. Sometimes the ones that come out of nowhere are the ones that do just as well, so... I think if you're somebody that wants your favorite guy or favorite woman to do well, you kind of should want to root for Gender, because that's better for a guy like Mojo to do good things too.
Right. I mean, there is a lot, I think, that sort of hinders on Gender doing well here. That was totally on accident too. you know, there's... Like, if this goes well, right, then there might be more of a chance that they're willing to take a risk on other guys like a Mojo Rawley or a Ty Dillinger even, or guys who are stuck in that mid-card. Because I think if you look at SmackDown right now, the gap between the top of the card where AJ and Dolph and Shinsuke, like everybody in the Money in the Bank match, right, are hanging out is a huge gap between the guys next below them. When you're looking at Ty's and Mojo's and Gender to a certain extent, and You know, you're trying to make all these guys look like they can hang, and if this does go well, then maybe they're willing to take a chance on some of these other guys. And that's really what you want to see. I mean, because obviously they're going to have to do it either way, but more chances existing for these guys looking to break through that glass ceiling. Sorry to use another term there, but, you know, the better.
Yeah, and this match with him and Mojo is not anything... I don't know that you should really go out of your... In fact, you could probably just skip this match here with Jinder and Mojo. It only goes about like 4 minutes, so... But as I mentioned, Mahal does get the USA chance on the promo that he cuts afterwards. That he's going to dismantle Randy Orton's dreams. And here we go with the hometown thing again. I swear this is WWE's buzzword for 2017. How many times can we mention somebody being in their hometown and that they're going to lose? Like, of all the things I ever thought was going to like be a big thing for them to start recognizing.
Right. Yeah, it's super over the top on this episode. Like, not only do they mention it a ton during Jinder's part, but when Randy's backstage earlier, like, oh my God, he won't shut up about it being in St. Louis. So,
and I like that he keeps mentioning the thing with him talking to legends all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just... Go ahead. Go ahead. No, it's just I like. I know it was a point of his promo last week or whatever, bringing up like American guys and all that stuff. But it's just, I guess it goes back to him being the legend killer. So now, since he killed a bunch of legends, he gets to dine with them.
They want to hobnob with him now because he's beating them.
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Like it's very clearly that USA versus evil foreign place. Very clear. I mean, because like I've said before, nothing says America like Randy Orton talking about, you know, people who came before him and his dad and taking advice from your elders and kicking this guy in the teeth and all that good stuff. And I actually like Jinder's promo better here because he sort of changes it up a little in the fact that it's not just about people being, you know, essentially racist against him. It's about... there's something wrong with America, and he's going to be the one that sort of tries to fix them. And when he does that, they'll accept him. And I think that's a bit more interesting way to follow for this character than just, oh, you hate me because I'm foreign, blah, you know?
Yeah, I like that too. I like that he actually seems to be having a point. My only issue is that's sort of what Bray Wyatt used to say too. So it's like, you know, how can you continue to differentiate this, you know, say next week or whatever. And it's something that also kind of makes this interesting is that even though we already knew this, we talked about it on one of the, I think it was last week's W2M episode, that John Cena coming back July 4th. It sort of makes a lot more sense if Jinder's your champion for him to kind of come back to that. I don't know if they would even go down that road. I just don't want to... I mean, look, John Cena could do a bunch of different things when he comes back, but just please no Randy Orton and John Cena match. Just not that, please.
I agree with you. I think it makes a lot more sense to have Jinder still the champ, and that's an easy, super easy way to bring Cena back into all this, and obviously, that means he's going to be the champion again, but I think that opens up, like, with a new SmackDown, essentially, now, despite there being still a couple guys who were still around the first time he was here before the split, like Shinsuke and Cena, or, you know, more Kevin Owens and Cena to retouch on that, or wherever they really want to go, I think it's a little bit more interesting if they want to do that. Now, that being said, it would be super interesting to have Jinder beat him somehow, too, and just look unstoppable, but July 4th seems like the end date of the experiment, so hopefully they get what they want out of it, and you can sort of go from there.
Well, that would be the week of the Raw pay-per-view, so they have, like, I think a couple more weeks till whatever the July, I can't think of it right now, the July pay-per-view for SmackDown. So...
Battleground, isn't it?
Yes, probably that. I mean, I guess they could do that with Cena. I mean, I would think that perhaps a Cena Shinsuke SummerSlam match or whatever would probably be very appealing to them.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if, say, Shinsuke beats Kevin Owens for the U.S. title or something like that. You can have Cena go after the U.S. title with Shinsuke, and you know, because he's already had his thing with AJ. With Kevin Owens starting, that's when he did his thing with Cena. So, I mean, I think it would be a great way to get Shinsuke a huge win, too, on a big stage like SummerSlam. And, you know, that's if Jinder did happen to retain the title, if that's where they went with him and Cena. Or you could do Cena and Shinsuke for the WWE title.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah, I... There's a part of me that kind of wants Kevin Owens to drop it to somebody else just because he really should be competing for the world title, and you can use the U.S. title to sort of try to give some of these other guys a platform to work from. But, I wherever they decide to go with, like, the top of SmackDown is just awesome. Like, I'm usually interested in whatever any of those guys are doing, whether it's Sami Zayn or Shinsuke or Kevin Owens or, you know, anybody in that match, essentially, so... Whatever they want to do for the main event of SmackDown is probably already going to have my interest.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about Mojo earlier. Mojo would be a perfect U.S. champion to get him going.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly.
I mean, nothing gets you more hyped for the USA than the guy that just can't stop being hyped. So
right.
AJ and Dolph do have a rematch here, and I really almost wish they didn't, because this was kind of just there. I mean, cool that AJ won with the Clash for once.
AJ didn't win with the Clash. He gets his win back. That's essentially all this is. This feels feudy going forward. So whatever this happens to turn into going down the road is going to sort of be whatever for me. Just because they haven't really done anything to capture your attention yet other than Money in the Bank buildup. So whatever this turns into, hopefully it'll be really good. Because Dolph could surely use the momentum.
Yeah, I totally agree there. I mean, I did like their first match a lot better. This just felt like it really was here for AJ to get the win. And I just wish sometimes that they understood that you don't necessarily have to do that. You don't have to do the 50-50 thing. People get it. Sometimes guys lose. It doesn't mean that they always lose luster because they lost.
Right, right.
New Day get to make two appearances here. Hold on, I gotta... My microphone was... I forgot I didn't have it charged all the way, and it decided to beep at me, so...
Oh, fun.
Had to put the charger in. So, the wonderful fashion file this week was in black and white with them in their office. And I love the little board with stuff on there. And it's like the Usos and Roman annoying. And some of the... there was another one that was pretty funny. There was one from with a guy from Raw, and it says out of our jurisdiction because they can't go there. That board is just one of like the funny moments. It's like one of those like you're supposed to just look at it and not think about it too much, but they put funny stuff on there. It's great.
Yeah, the repeat offender with Michael Hayes is in the background.
Yeah, totally
and
true.
They make a Kidman joke on there too, although I forget what it is.
It's something about, like, I forgot about it too, but here goes the kid or something like that. And then it's like, Kidman.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the New Day, basically they want, they take a while to tell you this, but they want their own, they want some information on their opponents, the Usos. And, you know, even though you're sitting there going, well, you couldn't just watch their matches or something. But the fashion police are very glad to do this. There's a moment where, like, I guess the Fandango and Breeze are, like, talking in their head. And so, like, New Day are, like, entering their thoughts in their head. I'm like, oh, this is... They're not talking to us. They're talking to themselves. And then they start talking to each other again. And fashion police go and give them their bunch of boxes with stuff in it. And New Day, in return, give them rompers as gifts. And Fandango just keeps throwing it on the ground. And as he's pissed... And he's like, we don't take bribes. But then here comes Tyler Breeze wearing it. And he's like, oh, man, this is great. It's got pockets and everything. And Fandango's apparently all happy about it for some reason. And then he's like, what's up with it? So they hand him stuff, and they each have, like, Usos gear in each one of the boxes. And he pulls out the Usos hoodie that they wear now. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what's up with the one day-ish thing? Or in New Day, it's like, ish? Yeah, it's I probably made it funnier than it actually was, but it was a really enjoyable segment. I was hoping you'd get New Day in one of these things, and it delivered.
Yeah, I think parts of this were certainly funny, and the other not. Like, not all the jokes hit, but a lot of them do, and that's good. So, I mean, the board itself just being hilarious, and a lot of the jokes these guys make is really good too. And Fandango was also remarking that Tyler Breeze actually looked pretty good in the romper, is what he said. So, good stuff from all the way around for these guys here.
Continue with the innuendo with Tyler Breeze. Televies there. Yeah, and then later on, the Usos also have their own promo while New Day, they have a match with the Colognes, which it was a thing, you know. Mm-hmm. I think the Colognes got probably more than you'd think they should, and this was here for the New Day to look good. And then Usos are out here saying the New Day are old news and that they don't have, Money in the Bank. It won't be about jokes because they got this tag division on lockdown. But they go ahead and make fun of Kofi's hair and Big E having large pecs. And it's about to get real at Money in the Bank. It ain't going to be paranoia to the Usos. I hate to tell you, Usos, you guys are pretty paranoid yourselves, so... But,
The match was fine. I think the Colognes got in a little too much, probably, but they do have to look like they're doing something, so that's sort of whatever at this point. I thought the Usos promo was fine, too. I enjoyed the content for the most part. I mean, the jokes were a little sad, except for... I laughed harder than I probably should have at the Big E one, talking about how he has E cups. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to the match. These guys have worked together before. Their matches were good. And it should be Xavier is the one working, so Kofi's still probably out with the ankle thing.
Yeah, I mean, they don't work as good as Big E and Kofi do, but it's still serviceable for what you need them to do. And that's fine. That's all you need. I mean, the Usos are great on their own, so it should be a pretty good match, hopefully. And then you get the closing stuff here with Dasha interviewing Sami Zayn, saying that he's been watching footage of all his opponents, but he can't figure out Nakamura. Huh, I don't know, Sami Zayn. Couldn't you go watch a certain NXT TakeOver to figure out? Nakamura, you know, you wrestled him in that takeover. It's just,
and lost. I mean, he couldn't figure him out.
He held his own pretty much with him, though. I mean, it's fine. I think they they make mention of Nakamura doing stuff at NXT. They just don't necessarily make mention of who he actually wrestled there, which is fine. And then Corbin shows up and attacks Sami Zayn to continue their long-standing feud. He beats him up with a ladder because, you know, hey, they're going to be a Money in the Bank match. And even tosses a bunch of ladders on top of him. And he says, look, I'm going to take your spot on commentary. And then we have the U.S. title match. Or not U.S. title match, I'm sorry. The Kevin Owens Shinsuke Nakamura match with the U.S. champion, Kevin Owens. You know, this is Nakamura wins. This was fine. I really expected something a lot better from guys that have... Obviously, I think they're probably saving it for something bigger down the line, and that's fine.
Right.
Just, I don't know, it's SmackDown. You expect a better closing match than this.
Yeah, I mean, this was probably about as good as AJ and Dolph's outing. They're building up to a ladder match on what is essentially a B pay-per-view, even though people have high expectations for the Money in the Bank ladder match every time they see it. So I don't really begrudge them sort of taking it easy here. You know, it's a SmackDown. They're probably going to wrestle each other a lot more in the future, so we'll save it for the bigger and better times when it's necessary.
Yeah. Still, sort of, sometimes you get, like, these really terrific main events from SmackDown, and it's kind of sad to have this match hyped up as much as it was, and then you kind of get this for, like, 10 minutes, and it's not, you know, anything you really want to go back and watch or tell anybody, hey, you need to see this. But at least you get Baron Corbin just laying out Nakamura with the End of Days at the end, so I guess that's a match that'll happen next week. And, yeah, Baron Corbin gets to look strong at the end.
Yeah, I mean, Baron Corbin's been the only person, I think, outside of Shinsuke who has looked incredibly strong going into this match. So, maybe not winning the matches, but certainly he's got no problem beating up everybody in God's green earth. So, I don't know if they're trying to telegraph this any or what, but these are certainly the guys they want you to care about going into this match. And maybe just because they feel like they're the guys that need the most development going into it, what with Shinsuke still being new to the main roster and Baron still being sort of a pet project.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, you know, Nakamura gets another big win for himself. Corbin looks good. He continues just beating up people, continuing his what he's been doing. And, you know, if he doesn't win Money in the Bank, it'll be a shock at this point, with as much as they've been doing with him.
I don't know if it'd be a shock, but, you know, like we said, SmackDown likes to be something different, and if they don't always give you what you're expecting, then all the better, but it does feel like they are going that direction.
Yeah, just, again, anything can happen. He could cash in that same night on whoever wins the title match, so...
Mm-hmm.
Well, it'd probably be the next SmackDown because the title match would probably happen first, but
right.
We'll see. We'll see what they decide to do here. The only thing we got left to do is give this show a rating.
You know, there are pieces of the show I really enjoyed, parts of segments, parts of promos. The wrestling on here isn't anything to, like, just write home about, though, you know, so I'm leaning towards a 6. It's good, it's not something you really need to go out of your way to watch, but there are parts of this I really enjoyed.
Yeah, there's some good stuff here. The stuff with New Day and Breezango is funny. The stuff with Lana debuting is probably something you want to check out, just because you should probably check out the crowd reaction for yourself, because it was actually something to behold, the entire crowd just... And then when she comes out, everybody starts chanting for her during the match, and they just don't care about the match anymore.
Right.
So, that's another thing, too, that's may lean in her favor as far as if they want to pull something at Money in the Bank. And even though the Mojo and Jinder match wasn't good, it's still kind of interesting to see what if they do anything with him. But Yeah, I think I'll go more towards like the 5.5-5 range. I really wish you kind of had some better matches, but I guess with the huge match that they got coming up, maybe they want to have them take it easy a little bit. And I think they kind of have an important they're going around Texas again and somewhere else for this weekend, so should be an interesting SmackDown next week as they're doing the go home for Money in the Bank, at least.
Absolutely.
Well, that's going to do it for us talking SmackDown. Of course, you can listen to Gary and Paul talk Raw as well if you haven't listened to that yet. We'll be doing 205 here in just a little bit. And, of course, Gary and Paul did the WTM Part 1 as they looked at Ring of Honor TV, the final of the Best of Super Juniors, which, again, you need to go check out that final because it was amazing, amazing stuff. You are missing a match of the year contender if you're not going to watch it. And yeah, just lots of news to get through there as well. So definitely a show you want to check out. And of course, we'll have our part two where we'll preview Dominion coming up on Sunday and go through whatever else has been going on in the news and everything else. So. Until next week when we talk the Go Home SmackDown to Money in the Bank. We'll see you later, everybody.
Have a good one, guys.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.